Matthew chapter 24. There's some verses that I want to read here. There is a question that is asked here in Matthew 24, and I want this to be my subject tonight. Jesus, of course, is speaking here, and you'll see this when we begin here in Matthew 24 in verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all of these must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations." Now notice this, "for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Now I know he goes on and he talks in this passage about his coming. There are two things that we must keep in mind. There are two aspects of the Lord's coming. We must keep in mind that there is the coming in the air, and then there is the coming to the earth. We must keep that in mind when we're thinking concerning this. But I thought, what shall be the sign of thy coming, or of his coming, and of the end of the world? Now I realize that we're not necessarily to be sign seekers, but we are to notice the signs that God gives, and he has given various signs through the Word of God, and he talked about some of these signs and how that the people didn't pay any attention to them. One such was, if you'll go back to the 16th chapter, I want you to notice there in the 16th chapter of Matthew and verse 1 through 4. "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red in glory. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. And then he said, A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them, and he departed." Go back to the 12th chapter of Matthew with me, and notice there in verse 38 through verse 40 of the 12th chapter, and it says this, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, And evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. There were signs that was given to them, but yet they could not discern these signs. And it did not mean anything to them. Now I believe that the Lord gives certain signs. And there are things that the Lord does that are signs of His coming. And I believe that we, as God's people, need to know what the Scriptures say so that we can discern when we come into contact and we see these signs that are all around us. Now, many times, signs go unheeded. The Lord gave definite signs, but the adulterous generation and a wicked generation did not discern what it was all about. And in many of the signs that the Lord gave, He interpreted them for them and told them what they really meant, and they still would not heed and would not believe what Jesus said to them. And I believe that is even true in the day in which that we live. Now, there are signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has given signs by which we may know that His coming is near. But a great majority of people are ignorant of the signs that the Lord gives. I continually believe that one of the signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the dense ignorance concerning the divine things of God that prevails in the day in which that we live. There is only a few people compared to the multitude that is in the world that even knows anything about the divine things of God. The majority of the people of the world don't know God. They don't know even about God. And they are not concerned about the things of God. And they don't want to know the things of God. But then I am also, when I look at the world and see that, then I am concerned of how many people, many times, that go to church every Sunday and are yet ignorant concerning the divine things of God. How many people are just ignorant of how the Lord saves people by His marvelous grace? And there's many today, many church-going people that are going about to establish their own righteousness and trying to save themselves, and they are totally ignorant that God has a way of salvation, and that is in through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, the Word of God tells us that there is going to be, before the coming of the Lord, there is a darkness that will prevail, and when He refers to darkness, He means an ignorance. Even the prophets warned of this, and the apostles also warned of this ignorance. Now, there is no excuse for such ignorance, for the Lord has revealed in His Word the things that need to be known in the last day before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the prophet Isaiah. Listen in Isaiah chapter 60. And there in the 60th chapter of Isaiah, and in verse 1 through 3. Did you know there's very few people that are looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you know there's very few that's even concerned? How much of your day and night is spent thinking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, you know yourself how little that you think of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your Savior. So if we're not looking for Him earnestly like we ought to be, how should we expect anybody else to be looking for Him? I believe that Isaiah said here in Isaiah 60, he said, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and that darkness means ignorance, and gross darkness or ignorance the people, but the Lord shall arise unto thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. And so even though there is going to be a darkness or an ignorance that's going to come upon the land, yet there are those going to be that will come to the light of the Lord and know that the Lord is coming. Daniel said in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, and there in verse 10 of Daniel 12, listen to what the prophet said. And he said many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But then he says, but the wise shall understand. And so we see there is an ignorance concerning the things, the divine things of the Lord. If people don't know about salvation by grace, if they don't know about the Lord's church, if they don't know about the ordinances of the Lord's church, how do you expect them to know anything about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? And there is a dense ignorance concerning this, but there are those that do know about it. And brother, we ought to thank God. We ought to thank God that we do know. And I believe that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is very near. I believe the people that are going to be saved, are the Lord's going to bring them in. And we say, well, the love of many is waxing cold. That's true. But I'll tell you, the Lord's going to save all of His people, every one of them, and there's none of them going to be lost. And in that sense or that respect, I'm looking for seeing people saved and come to know Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, when he was writing to the church at Thessalonica, listen to what he said when he said, and he was talking about some of the things that are going to happen and the various times in which this, of course, is going to happen. And there's times that we can liken it to today and we liken it to the future and other times. But when he said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and of course, what he was talking about here was the mystery of iniquity or that doth already work. And he's talking about the coming after the working of Satan with all the signs and the lying wonders and then the deceivableness of unrighteousness. And he goes on here in this verse 10, and he talks about what's going to happen. He said, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And so, we see that prevailing. We see that thing today that is prevailing today. But thank God we see those that are saved by the grace of God and are looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So men are willingly ignorant of God's Word, and especially the revelation concerning of the Lord from heaven. Now, you find some people that talk about the second coming. You know, it was amazing. When was it, last year or year before last, when everybody got all stirred up because of that false literature that came out through the mail? I was amazed at how some people reacted to that. I know a Baptist preacher that got all of his family together on that day. I mean, that makes me wonder about that fellow. I mean, it does. You all know him. I mean, I know him and you all know him. It makes me wonder about him. It really makes me wonder. I mean, and you remember how some people, they were so stirred up and so afraid. I don't know what they're afraid of. Why would anybody that's saved by the grace of God be afraid of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you ought not to be afraid. You ought to rejoice that He's coming. You ought to look for His coming, and you ought to be happy that He is coming. And you ought to be living like He is coming.
this very moment, or this very day.
And I'm about to tell you who it is on that. It's no big deal, no big secret. I'm not the only one who knows it. It's no secret. I'm not the only one who knows it. His family knows it. A lot of others know it too. But I thought about how could anybody, and what it is, it's an ignorance. It's ignorance of divine things. It's ignorance of the Word of God, what Jesus said about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man can't set the date on the Lord's coming. Now, someone speculating, I'm not saying by accident, but speculating may say the very date or the time that the Lord is going to come, but that doesn't mean that he knows. Doesn't mean that he knew. Because nobody sets the date when the Lord is coming. But there is a general, the second sign I believe today is there's a general disbelief in the second coming of the Lord, and this is a sign of his coming. And how that we know that is, we don't live like the Lord's coming today. We don't live like this is the day that the Lord may come. Because if we really had the Lord's coming in our heart, upon our hearts and in our minds, that our life today would be different. Now, this is taught by comparing the world at the time of His coming with Noah's day. Now, I thought about it, and this just sort of came to me. Didn't sort of come to me. Yeah, y'all know I don't mean that. The Lord just laid it on my heart. And I thought about it. Well, here's a familiar scripture. Here's one that I've preached, and I haven't worn it out. But I've preached, and I've preached, and I've preached, and I've preached. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 10. I want you to see this. Hebrews 10. Now, you know it. You're going to know it when you get there. And I mean, you've heard it. You've heard me probably preach on it more than anybody else. And you're going to know exactly what it says when I read it. And it's verse 25. And now look, I want you to see this in the context of the Lord's coming. Of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And now look at this. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Or that you know the day is approaching, the Lord's coming. And that ought to be an incentive. It is an incentive, but it's not only incentive that, but there's another incentive given. Look, turn to 1 John chapter 3. And look what it said in the first three verses of 1 John chapter 3. And I'm talking about, I'm getting way ahead of myself because I'm really supposed to be talking about a general disbelief in the Lord's coming, but I'm showing some things that we know that He is coming. But look here, as a result of knowing that He's coming, it says in verse 1 through 3 of 1 John 3, behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And that's where we stop. But go to the next verse. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself. Every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself. Even as He is pure. And I believe that one of the greatest incentives, one of the greatest boosts, or one of the greatest encouragement to live a godly life and to live every day, every minute of our life for the Lord is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not knowing what day or what hour that He is going to come. Well, now, that I got way ahead of myself, but I just had to bring that in. Noah faithfully warned of the coming flood, but then nobody believed him. Now, you think we could say he preached his heart out. We say that. I don't know what that means. But said he preached his heart out, and nobody, they heard him. They didn't listen to him. They continued on in their evil ways and in unbelief until the flood came. And the Bible tells us about this. Look in 2 Peter. You're right there close to you. In 1 John, turn back just a page or two to 2 Peter. And look with me in chapter 3 and in verse 3 through 5. And it says, "For this, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust." Now, brother, if we're not there, there never was a day if we're not there. I mean, the world's telling everybody today, do your own thing. See, the problem and the thing that I'm real concerned about, like in Brother Steve Cornett's situation, I don't know that his wife was ever in agreement with his ministry, which is bad. Church ought never ordain a man that his wife is not in agreement with the work of the Lord. Y'all hear me? All you're doing is ordaining trouble. Because that's one of the qualifications. That's one of the things. And so his wife got to go into the YWCA, isn't it? Young something. And anyway, it has to do with the women. It's not the men's part. And she got to working out and talking with a lady that was divorced. And this divorced lady told her, said, "Why wouldn't being subjection to him a minute?" And she got to believing it. And she got to where she went in subjection to him. So she started frequenting bars, meeting men, drinking. And now that's what the world will tell you. And that's what this is talking about. And brother, that's what the world will do. I mean, his ministry is destroyed. Now, there's no two or three ways about it. Unless she repents and gets things right and gets in agreement, he's done. I mean, he's done. That's just how simple it is. I mean, that's sad. It's sad, but that's the way it is, and that's where he is. And the sad thing is, he took her back on her terms. And that finished him. Now, that finished him. I mean, and it's sad. It is a sad day. It's a sad time. And you know, there's lots of homes like that are in that very kind of condition today. And what it is, it's the devil trying to cause God's people not to serve the Lord and to get wrapped up and entangled in the world and to lose their witness and testimony. That's what it is. And now that church up there suffering. And it's given the devil an occasion to blaspheme that church and the work of the Lord. And the sad thing of it is, he wouldn't discipline his wife. I told him, if you don't, he'll kill you. And you're a goner if you don't discipline your wife. And I told him the truth, brethren. And I told it to him out of truth. Now that church is going to have to do it. They're going to do it Wednesday night. It had been much easier if he had gone on and said, here's what needs to be done. It would be any time church discipline needed if the family would go on and do it. Then there wouldn't be such resentment against me, against the church, and against the truth. There would not be. And so, now all of this, I believe, all of this is coming in here, into this here, and knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, and those walking after their own lust. There it is. And that's what the devil wants to try to get God's people to do. Is to go lusting after the things of the world and turn down the things of God. And he goes and says, and saying this,
Where is the promise of His coming? Now, you can say that in words or you can say it by action. You can talk as though the Lord's not coming, and you can live as though He's not coming. By the way of that you live. And so, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men.
And then he goes on and says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. And I preached on this, I think it was Wednesday night or sometime, and I preached on this passage of Scripture. So now that's where we are today. We're closer to the Lord's coming than any day that we've ever lived. And I believe that we need to pray that God would give us the grace and the strength, and that we might live for Him, and that we might look for His coming.
And that we might, with our lives, not only from the standpoint of being saved, but the way we live, that we would be ready for His coming, as far as the way that we live.
Their ignorance will not be because there is no source of information and because of a lack of warning, but what happens is people don't listen to the preaching of God's Word. And I had to learn a long time ago, when you all do not follow God's Word, I'm not responsible for that. But I'm responsible for preaching God's Word and for teaching God's Word. And then the responsibility goes to you. Now, another sign that there will be before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is a departure from the faith. Now, and sometimes we think that this is somebody else or is going to happen in another state or another county. No, it's going to happen right here. See, that's where it's going to happen. And I don't know what's wrong with us to a degree. I really don't as to the times. We are becoming so indoctrinated with the system of the world and the ways of the world that we are even bashful toward the things of God, and sometimes are even ashamed of the ways of God and of the things of God in our daily lives as born-again believers, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. I have thought it is such a shame when we will do the Lord anyway and embarrass the Lord when we would not embarrass or do the world anyway. And it is such a tragedy, and it is such a sad thing. Now, I believe that one of the signs that is very dominant today and very prevalent, if you'll go to Revelation chapter 3, and I thought as I preached there this past week at Myrtle Tree, and I thought of all of the problems that the devil is causing in churches today, and especially in that area there. And I thought, well, this is just a sign of the coming of the Lord, and the devil's trying to destroy homes. He's trying to destroy churches. He's trying to destroy people that are born again, that are saved by the grace of God, and ruin their witness and their testimony. And one of the things, and this is what really bothers me, is the lukewarmness of this church. Revelation chapter 3, look with me. And there in verse 14, down through verse 19. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And he's writing, we know, to the church at Laodicea. I believe this letter was not only to Laodicea, but it was to us. I believe it even includes the time in which we live, as well as being directed to this church. And I don't find no comfort in that there's other churches lukewarm, because I'm not a member of other churches. I'm a member of this church. And look what he said. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Now that's a big statement.
At least you know what a person is. If a person is backslidden and cold, you know they're backslidden and cold. But if they're lukewarm, you don't know which they are.
Now God knows, we know that, and the Lord knows. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's the worst thing that happens to us. Now it can be used for God's honor and glory. Material things can be a blessing or they can become a curse. How many of us have let prosperity cause us to wax cold in the things of the Lord and in the work of the Lord? And so he said, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not thou art wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked? I believe that what we need to see, that the Lord gives us a picture of the spiritual condition of the churches in the last day. We call it the Laodicean church age. It is a state of complacency, a state of self-dependency, a state of churlishness, and a state of indifference. And does that not tell us about our church? Why, certainly it does. And my, as we go on, and as he talks to them here and what he says to them, he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried with fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyes, save that thou mayest see. And he's talking to the church at Laodicea. And then he said, notice. And he brings Hebrews 12 to our attention. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Oh, that the love that you would have for me to talk to me about my sins. The love that you would manifest to me to talk to me about unrighteousness in my life. He said, be zealous therefore and repent. And he's talking about the church there when he says, behold, I stand at the door. He's talking about the church there at Laodicea. He's not talking about individuals' hearts, but he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. After all of us know a little bit about the Reformation, what we've heard about it. Before the Reformation, there was fierce persecution. And then there was the Protestants that split from the Catholics, and then the Baptists were long rangers like they always are. And then when that persecution died down, then the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ began to settle down in the world and be at ease. And see, that's what happens to us like even today. And the Lord's church began to grow numerically and began to grow richer in worldly goods and poorer in spirituality. And she began to develop a more compromising spirit. And like the Lord said to Israel when they wanted a king to be like other nations, the church's desire to be like the world in many respects. It's constantly, I hear different pastors talking about people wanting to bring things of the world into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a constant battle. In the state of ease, the churches have grown into a very serious state of indifference. Pride and selfishness is what comes. We're indifferent to the work of evangelism. We're unfaithful in Christian conduct, and we live worldly. And these are all signs. Look what many churches have done to the ordinances of the church. Look what many churches are doing concerning the offices of the New Testament church. Notice how many are committing spiritual fornication. Brother, spiritual fornication is when you yoke up with somebody that's not true to the Lord's Word. And when they're not a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what spiritual fornication is. And you know, today when you stand for those things, boy, people really hammer down on you hard. But, you know, that's the price you pay for standing for the truth. Now, all of these signs, and I believe all of these signs are being fulfilled today right before our very eyes. Now, here's what's going to happen. It's going to be like Jesus said, "Therefore, be also ready, and for such an hour as you think not the Son of Man come." But I believe the main thing tonight is that we would so serve the Lord with our lips and with our lives that we would not be indifferent to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these are only a few signs. There's many things that I could go in tonight, many more that I could go into. But what shall be the sign of thy coming? We're in the last days. It's evident that we're in the last days before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would that God would send revival in our hearts. I would that we'd see some commitment to Christ. What I mean by that is putting Christ first in our lives. Not putting Him second or third or fourth down the line, but putting the things of Christ first. I'm talking about in my life. I'm talking about in your life as children of God. For we are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and every one of us is going to give an account. And that's just how that we've lived for the Lord and how that we've served Him. And so, may the Lord help us.